This is Ozarks at Large for May 29th, 2013. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Kyle Kellum. Support for Ozarks at Large comes in part from the University of Arkansas's Women's Giving Circle. And support also comes from artist Ingrid Gibson, featuring a first Saturday open house at her sculpture gallery and studio in Big Cedar, Oklahoma, on June 3rd from 3 until 7 p.m. Complimentary food and wine will be served. Directions and more information are located at ingridgipson.com.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, the Arkansas Music Pavilion gets a new home. Plus, we mark World MS Day, the Flip-Off Pirates perform inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio, and more.
First, Governor Mike Beebe this morning named his pick for the next state treasurer. Talk Business Arkansas reports that Charles Robinson, the former director of the Division of Legislative Audit, will serve the remainder of Martha Schaffner's term as treasurer, ending in January 2015. The governor says that, quote, Charlie's name is synonymous with integrity in Arkansas government. His long tenure of steady leadership is a big reason the Division of Legislative Audit has the sterling reputation it maintains today. I have no doubt that he will bring those same virtues to his tenure as treasurer, end quote. As an appointee, Robinson will not be eligible to run for election as treasurer. He retired from legislative audit 6 years ago. Martha Schaffner resigned as state treasurer last week amid federal extortion charges.
The Bentonville City Council last night approved spending $70,000 to repair a portion of Wishing Springs Trail that was damaged by recent flooding. David Wright, the city's Parks and Recreation Director, says the substantial rainfall event on April 18th brought 5 inches of rainfall over the course of the night.
In about a one-hour time frame, about 3.5 inches fell. And the volume of water that rode through our creeks literally just ripped out the retaining wall along the Wishing Springs Trail where it goes underneath Highway 71 business, or North Walton Boulevard, as a lot of us know it. So we've got to go back and rebuild that for the safety of our patrons that use our trails, but also the integrity of the structure itself.
Wright says the repair work will take about 45 days while crews rebuild the retaining wall. He says while crews will strengthen the wall when conducting the repairs, 50-year floods like the one that caused the damage aren't an everyday occurrence.
We were already designed to handle a normal rainfall event. That was a major act of God that evening. We're going to strengthen it, but I can't tell you that, you know, on 50 or 100-year events, that won't happen again. At that point, we're fighting Mother Nature.
Because Benton County was declared a disaster area after the flood, up to 35% of the project's cost is eligible for reimbursement from the Arkansas Department of Emergency Management.
Grace Hill Elementary School in Rogers is working to ensure children's fitness. The school recently received a $10,000 joint use grant to build a physical fitness course on its playground for upper grades. Jenny Reel, principal of Grace Hill, says she and Shelby Whalen, the school's physical education teacher, designed the course to include equipment that children would enjoy playing on during recess. But the course was also designed for use in promoting physical fitness.
Nationwide, it's quite a push for us to try to help our children become more physically fit. And this course, she is going to incorporate in her physical education lessons that the children attend twice a week, sometimes three times a week. And it promotes fitness, it promotes strength and agility. So we're excited about that aspect, but it's still something that the kids love to play on at recess when they just have their free play time.
As part of the terms of the state grant that paid for the fitness course, the school developed a joint use agreement with the city, and Reel says the joint use is positive for both students and the community at large.
We wanted to encourage the public to use this piece because it also can be, you know, used off school hours to create physical fitness in our community. So it is available all through the summer and anytime after school hours and on weekends.
But the playground for the upper grade students wasn't alone in receiving upgrades. Reel says the school's parent-teacher organization raised money to purchase a small rock climbing wall and three other pieces of equipment for the K through second grade playground. She says in the future she plans on writing one joint use grant per year to get more equipment on the playgrounds to help encourage children to be active and fit.
Kai Murley, a 7th grader from Little Rock's Lisa Academy, is Arkansas's only contestant in the Scripps National Spelling Bee taking place this week. Murley advanced to the second round of competition this morning. The Spelling Bee is the nation's most prominent and is broadcast on ESPN. Assistant principal and coach Judith Kneeling says learning how to spell is more than a rote memory exercise.
I know the Spelling Bee is a really good way to boost your vocabulary because when students students come across a word that they don't know, we look up the origin of the word, we look up the meaning of the word, and we figure out how it can be used in a sentence. So it's a really good way to boost vocabulary.
Murley is one of 65 12-year-olds out of 281 total contestants. She says her favorite subject in school is world history, and she hopes to be a cardiologist.
The city of Fayetteville is asking residents to take part in a survey meant to update its information regarding the city's community engagement. The survey, on the city's website at accessfayetteville.org, is intended to update the city's information regarding the amount of participation in neighborhood organizations in the city. The survey is part of an Engaged Communities project begun last year with the goal of improving the city's community outreach and government transparency about projects and issues pertaining to the city's various neighborhoods. The survey is open through June 28th.
The Northwest Arkansas Naturals were back at Arvis Ballpark last night to open a 6-game homestand and 3-game series against the Corpus Christi Hooks. The Nats lost 6-3, making the team 15-34 on the season. The series against the Hooks continues tonight in Springdale.
And tonight, cloudy, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Lows will be around 70. Tomorrow, cloudy, 70% chance of showers in Northwest Arkansas. It's a 50% chance of rain tomorrow for the Arkansas River Valley. Highs throughout the region tomorrow around 80. And for tomorrow night, cloudy, 50% chance of rain, lows in the mid-60s. This is Ozarks at Large. The Arkansas Music Pavilion will have a new permanent home in Rogers.
I want to go back and talk a little bit about the AMP and what it means and give you a little bit of idea about the proposal that we have put together.
Yesterday afternoon, the Walton Arts Center Council voted overwhelmingly to approve a plan that developed in just the last few days and weeks. The new home for the planned 6,000-seat facility will be in the Pinnacle Hills area of Rogers on land donated by Janelle Hunt. She's also providing Walton Arts Center, the owner of the AMP, with a $3 million interest-free loan to help with the creation of the project. Peter Lane, the president and CEO of Walton Arts Center, made the presentation in support of the permanent site to the council yesterday and told them the proposal would allow for a larger outdoor venue with easy access to Interstate 540 and a sturdy, enduring shelter.
So having an AMP of this size or a covered shed is really makes us competitive in that talent of acts and artists that we want to see happen.
For almost a decade, the AMP has been in Fayetteville, first at the Northwest Arkansas Mall. Then, after new owners of the mall couldn't come to terms with Walton Arts Center ownership on a new lease, the AMP moved to Washington County's fairgrounds. Peter Lane says for much of the time a permanent site was being sought, the idea was the AMP would remain in its city of origin.
We moved to the fairgrounds, which was temporary, as a temporary venue, and began the search for and we searched high and low. Fayetteville was our first priority. We uncovered every corner that we could, and then, you know, talk with a number of people and it turns out the most compelling site really is this site because of its combination of meeting all the criteria combined with funding and access and et cetera.
Yesterday's decision did not come unanimously. Steve Clark, a member of the council and also president of the Fayetteville Chamber of Commerce, was critical of the process that created the plan. He says communication between interested parties seemed rushed, and he urged the council to wait about 2 weeks until the next regularly scheduled council meeting before signing off on the decision.
There were some questions that got asked, about 47, in fact. Those were asked, the proposal was offered last Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. The questions were asked on Wednesday. The answers came today at 1:36. Why weren't those questions anticipated? They were pretty routine and ordinary, and they seemed to be the things that if you were developing a new $11 million asset, you would ask these questions. But that's what democracy is all about, and they voted with a majority to do this, and so it's done.
In the end, Steve Clark and one other representative of the 20-member council voted against approval. The $11 million facility has, according to figures provided by Peter Lane, slightly more than 90% of the $11 million price either in hand or planned for. The proposal does count on $500,000 not yet in the bank to come from the sale of luxury boxes on the site and another $500,000 to come from naming rights opportunities. Additionally, Lane says another $500,000 has been pledged by Rogers Mayor Greg Hines. Other gifts for the structure include $1.5 million from the Willard and Pat Walker Charitable Foundation and a $2.5 million gift from an anonymous source described by Lane as a longtime supporter of the center. Lane says with yesterday's approval by the council, the AMP could be open as soon as late June of next year.
That would be our ideal opening. And, you know, it's expensive to run a temporary venue at the fairgrounds. I mean, that's one of the challenges we have is that we're subject to the wind and the rain and all of that. If an artist that's of a high caliber comes and we have a bad night, and we've had a few of recent, it can really jeopardize that concert's ability to run. So I'm very excited about the fact that we could be open by next season. And I think there's acts that we can attract now because we have a permanent facility, and it's the biggest in Arkansas. So I think it's going to be great for our region in terms of the ability to attract tourism, to be a new destination on the concert tour business. That part gets me very excited.
Lane says the economic potential is considerable for Walton Arts Center. Figures provided by the AMP indicate slightly more than a third of attendees to last year's shows at the temporary site came from outside of Washington and Benton counties. He also told the council yesterday that the majority of attendees to last year's shows of mainstream rock and country concerts represented a new audience for Walton Arts Center, people who did not regularly come to shows at the facility in downtown Fayetteville. Lane says he thinks the new permanent AMP could be a way to draw acts more commonly seen in bigger cities.
We're going to compete for that one big tour that goes out with Dallas and Houston and Kansas City and St. Louis and to some degree Tulsa, and we want to be able to say, hey, let's put our hat in the ring because we know that our audiences want quality entertainment in Northwest Arkansas. We know they demand this new level of entertainment opportunities, and we know that we want to be part of it at the Walton Arts Center so that we can provide those services to our region.
Though yesterday's approval by the board means the AMP will have a permanent home in Rogers by next year, the 2013 season will continue at the temporary home at the Washington County Fairgrounds.
This is Ozarks at Large. Multiple sclerosis is a progressive neurological disease. It is often thought to be a muscular disorder because it causes many to become immobile. MS interrupts the flow of information within the brain and between the brain and body and stops people from moving, interrupting the brain telling your leg to move. Today is World MS Day. Touched by people she knows with the disease, Ozarks at Large's Christina Thomas wanted to learn more, and here's her report.
Just as I wanted to know more, so too did Sylvia Lowry, whose brother had multiple sclerosis in the 1940s.
He didn't know anything about it, but wanted to know something about it.
That's Brooke Smith. She's the senior manager of programs and services of the South Central region of the MS Society.
So she put an ad in a newspaper and just asked if relatives were experiencing the same symptoms that her brother was experiencing, and she got a lot of responses from that. And so that is where the MS Society, where we got our start.
Smith says that multiple sclerosis stops people from moving, and the MS Society exists to make sure that it doesn't.
By funding cutting-edge research, driving change through advocacy, facilitating professional education, collaborating with MS organizations around the world, and providing programs and services designed to help people with MS and their families move their lives forward.
The MS Society serves more than 5,800 Arkansans affected by MS, including 3,000 individuals diagnosed with the disease. Smith came to work at the MS Society partly because of her own story and her relationship with MS. Her grandfather was diagnosed in 1954, right before her father and his twin were born. An aspiring baseball player, her grandfather never made it past the minor leagues due to his MS.
I don't ever remember him out of a wheelchair. He also had to use a feeding tube, but that's not typical for everyone with MS, especially nowadays. He passed away in 1993, but 1993 was the year that the first disease-modifying medication to treat MS symptoms came out. And in the last 20 years, we now have 10 FDA-approved therapies.
She can't say whether or not these drugs would have extended his life, as the life expectancy for those with the disease is the same as a healthy human. But the studies do show that the medications can slow the progression of the disease. There is a hereditary connection, but it's not a given. The causes of MS are not fully known. The Society offers a lot of services and support through their website and through teleconference because it's difficult for those with the disease to be mobile. Conditions change from one day to the next. The Society holds various awareness and fundraising events. You may be familiar with Walks for MS. Those around the state were held last month. And then there's today, May 29th, World MS Day 2013. The theme for this year's day is Young People in MS, which includes people ages 18 to 40. There are three things many people don't know about MS. One, that there is no known cause or cure. Two, MS varies from person to person and from time to time.
The third thing in that is that MS symptoms usually start between the ages of 25 and 31. And so it's really this young population that, you know, are starting their lives. They're graduating from college. They're starting families. They're traveling. And then all of a sudden they begin having symptoms or have had symptoms and are just, you know, starting to recognize that they may be connected. And so in that time of life is when most people are diagnosed. And we feel that that's really important to share that.
The Society has asked for people to share their mottos for living with MS and the stories behind those mottos. One of these young people is Channing Barker, celebrating her 24th birthday today on World MS Day. She was diagnosed at the age of 16. A cheerleader, she remembers the day, January 24th, 2006, when she knew that something was wrong.
All of a sudden, I was at this rival basketball game, you know, it's the biggest game of the year, and all of a sudden I just could not lift my right leg. And I thought that was so strange. I was a ballerina, a dancer, a cheerleader. I was constantly going. And all of a sudden, I just couldn't lift my leg. And then I had to kind of lean up against the wall because I was not able to really move. So then I remember just the next 2 to 3 days, I was in and out of a hospital. I had a spinal tap. I had MRIs. I had CAT scans, everything you could think of. And I was 16. And the only thing I knew about an MRI was that that's what they did on ER. When I remember watching that show growing up. So I didn't know anything about, you know, what was this MS thing. And
the doctors thought she could potentially have lupus or a brain tumor. For months, she was in and out of hospitals. As a high school student, she wasn't able to participate in the things she once could, like cheerleading. She was even in a wheelchair for a little while. The doctors thought she was too young to have MS. It was through the MS Society that she was connected to the Pediatric Multiple Sclerosis Centers of America and went to Stony Brook, New York, where she was diagnosed the spring break of her junior year.
That was definitely something that I was, you know, oddly excited about because I finally had a label for what was making me so ill, so sick, and I got on medication the following August, and I've been on that medication ever since, and I've only had two or three relapses since then, and, you know, it's definitely something that you, when you tell people that you have, they don't really understand.
So I asked her to help me understand how the disease works. She does, by picking up her iPod headphones.
I kind of describe it the way that I think of an outlet or a wire, some kind of a wire. So like, for instance, my headphones, they have this coating on top of them. You don't see any of the wiring or anything. And that's just like our brain. In our brain, we have all of these nerves that are going throughout our brain. But with someone who has multiple sclerosis, there are little tears and breaks where you can see the wires. Just like where think about when you're the Christmas lights you have that are from forever ago. If they have a little break in them, you can see the wiring. It doesn't work as well because it'll sometimes go in and out. That's just like how a person's brain with MS is, because if there's a break or you can see the wiring in any kind of part, that's where a lesion is. And a lesion is just that. It's a break kind of in the nerve end. It's in the nerve ending. And that's pretty much the simplest way you can describe it. And so what we fight for is for our lesions to either stop the growth of lesions, to stop the spread of lesions, or to remove them.
That's something that's being researched right now. Channing says for her, MS is just something that she lives with every day and will for the rest of her life. She hopes that one day MS will stand for mystery solved. I asked how she's able to live every day, not knowing what the future holds for her. She says she stays positive and is just so thankful to have her dream job, a morning news reporter with KNWA.
I'm so thankful that I'm able to do what I do every day. I mean, having my job is, it's my dream job. And the fact that I was able to do that and still and live with this disease is amazing. And that was one thing I knew this was not going to stop me from. You know, whether it was I was going to be in a wheelchair or whether it was going to be that I was, you know, climbing mountains, I knew that I was going to have the job that I wanted to be a journalist. And I was set on that. So I'm so glad that I've been able to do that.
That motto we mentioned earlier, according to the World MS Day website, mottos can lift our spirits and motivate us to make the most of every day. Channing is confident that the face of MS is changing because her generation is doing something about the disease and the way people view the disease through research, funding, and government relations. That's part of her inspiration for her motto.
It says, you know, live the life that you've imagined, because this disease is going to be here no matter what. You know, we're going to find a cure. I have hope for that. But I kind of think that this disease is just kind of piggybacking on my life. And I think that there's, I just don't want it to think that it has any power over me, that it's going to stop me in any way. And so definitely my motto would be hope that we will find a cure for this disease, and that no one else will have to hear the words, you have multiple sclerosis, especially kids.
For Ozarks at Large, I'm Christina Thomas.
It is Wednesday, May 29th, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
With us, Becca Martin-Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
I believe we declared last week that it is officially summer.
Yes.
Yep. I have more proof.
Well, I think we declared it unofficially.
For us, it's officially.
Yes.
For us, it's officially.
Officially for us.
Yes. And I have more proof.
Good.
It's the 17th annual Gully Park Summer Concert Series.
Mm-hmm.
That is proof.
I already felt old. And then I realized it's the 17th annual Gully Park Summer Concert Series.
Do you remember the first one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Venerable.
Oh, yeah.
Series.
Yes. Took Amanda to the first one.
Really?
Yes. So here's the lineup. 7 o'clock Thursdays. If you've never gone, there's usually two or three food vendors.
Take a picnic dinner if you want.
Take the kids, let them run down front and dance.
Yeah.
Take some lawn chairs, yeah. Take a blanket, take a cooler.
Sure.
Not that kind of cooler, I don't think.
No, not officially.
Okay. Don't officially take that kind of cooler.
Right.
Officially take food in your cooler. May 30th, the Wheeler Brothers. Rock, folk, roots, Americana, and blues. They're from Austin, Texas. June 13th, the Sarah Hughes Band. Folk rock singer and songwriter from Fayetteville. June 27th, Roscoe Bandana. Blues, Americana-style music with some modern folk and a hint of gypsy fanfare from Gulfport, Mississippi.
Sounds fun.
July 11th, Got It Covered, a Northwest Arkansas band that plays funky and fun hits from the 1960s to today. July 25th, Jason D. Williams.
Always a blast. Always high energy.
You love him, don't you?
I do.
Classical to rockabilly to country to jazz to rock and roll. He's from Memphis. And August 8th, the Uncrowned Kings, which brings together members of Oreo Blue, Big Bad Bubba, and the TJ Scarlett Band.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun as well.
You can't miss on this, folks.
How much do I have to pay to get in to the park to see these bands?
Absolutely nothing.
All right.
And that's why we love Northwest Arkansas.
That's right.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin-Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Funny is as funny does. Let's go to the phones right now. Dahomey, is that right? Dahomey?
Yeah, it's Dahomey.
Dahomey. Oh, it's Dahomey. Oh, okay.
You know what Dahomey's short for?
No, I'm afraid to ask. What is it short for?
Duh.
I'm Michael Feldman. Join me this week for all the news that isn't and more on the What Do You Know Radio Hour from PRI, Public Radio International.
What do you know? Saturday mornings at 10 here on KUAF.
The KUAF website giveaway continues with tickets and camping to Thunder on the Mountain. One winner will receive 6 tickets to this 3-day country music festival on Mulberry Mountain. The event is June 6th through the 8th, and the drawing is Friday, May 31st, that's this Friday, during the noon edition of Ozarks at Large. Registration is available at KUAF.com. Walton Arts Center has announced that Jersey Boys will be making its Northwest Arkansas premiere this September, and Broadway subscriptions are now available. Jersey Boys, White Christmas, I Love Lucy, Chicago, and The Wizard of Oz are all included in this package. Tickets and information are available at waltonartscenter.org or 443-5600.
Next month, chefs in downtown Bentonville are taking on some culinary challenges. They'll be pairing up their dishes with specific wines, beers, cheese, even art. There are several specific food events scheduled inside the city's Art and Culinary Festival that runs the entire length of June. Two participating chefs recently came to our studio to discuss the science, art, and experimentation included in preparing a meal based on pairings. Matthew McClure, the executive chef at The Hive inside the 21C Hotel, is working on a meal combining locally brewed beers with his food. He'll be working with Andrew Coates, the brewmaster at the Fayetteville-based West Mountain Brewing Company.
It's very exciting to sort of, you know, wrap this Arkansas cuisine up in one, you know, to try to start it in, you know, in one dinner, you know, with somebody that's actually, you know, designing and crafting beer in the area, and then, you know, using farmers locally grown food, and then just putting all that, you know, brushing it up, putting on a plate, and having a really nice time of it.
Matthew says the process of taking full advantage of flavors from two very different types of food or drink begins for the chef where it begins for the customer, by tasting.
You sort of kind of break down a couple of flavor profiles that are in the beer itself, you know, and that could be, you know, caramel from the malted barley, or it, you know, it could be you know, certain aromatics that come out of the hops, and there's a lot of layers that are built into, you know, when the hops are added to the, you know, the process of making the beer, so that gives it different flavors. Taking those flavors, you know, and the intensity of them, and sort of pairing different, you know, lettuces, or, you know, if it's a rich beer, maybe, you know, you want a rich food with it. Or if it's a light, crisp beer, you want something light with it. And sort of, you know, kind of starting there.
For Case DeGuerro, the chef at 11, the restaurant inside Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art, pairings this month are inspired by something two-dimensional, works that are hanging at the museum. In June, he's putting together a dinner inspired by art included in the museum's exhibit titled Angels and Tomboys. He says the task of coherently mixing art and food is actually the coolest part of his job.
Angels and Tomboys, which is a really interesting study on young women sort of in art in the late 19th century into the 20th century. And so we have been having a great time, my team, my culinary team and I, developing ideas of what we're going to do. And we were, you know, brainstorming just yesterday, and we started thinking about this idea of angels and tomboys. And immediately we started talking about dessert. Well, what does that mean? Well, angels and tomboys, the dessert has to be sweet and salty.
Concepts are one thing, meals another. While Case and Matthew both relish the challenge of pairings, they say knowing what doesn't work is just as important as knowing what does.
Not everything, you know, not everything is magical at the first, you know, the first swing. Sometimes you just gotta scrap it and start all over. That's absolutely true, and it can be frustrating, especially when you have 5 courses or 10 courses. You know, that even adds more pressure. But you know, I mean, I think that's sort of part of the creative process. And overall, it's a lot of fun. You know, if it's not working, it's not working, and you just gotta be honest with yourself and say, you know, we're gonna try something totally different. You know.
And equally as interesting is when you come across something that is completely unexpected. When, you know, you're experimenting, and it could be with wine, it could be with whatever, and you're kind of going in one direction, and suddenly something else pops up that you were like, I had no idea that this was going to be so good together. To me, that happens a lot, you know, where I'm sort of surprised and it's unexpected, which is exciting.
Both chefs say having to create specific meals based on one-time inspirations can lead to inspirations they'll use later. The forced experimentation required to create a one-time menu keeps their minds fresh, they say. Case says working at 11 means never really having to wait long for inspiration. Lately, on his nightly drive home from work, he's been looking at the temporary outdoor installation called Buckyball. It's a large ball covered with changing lights.
I've stopped to look at Buckyball like three times in the last week just because I'm on my way out at night and I'll see it through the trees and it's glowing and sort of it's this really cool orb. And last night I had to stop and I pulled over and I got on the bench and I was looking up at it and I was thinking, oh, what can we create here? There has to be some kind of, I'm thinking gelato or ice cream or something like that. So constantly thinking about inspiration that's coming from the works.
Case and Matthew seem cordial, even cooperative, discussing ideas. They say other chefs in the area also enjoy seeing what each other can create. Kay says what's happening in downtown Bentonville with food can have an exponential effect.
I keep hearing more, and we keep meeting more people and things that are happening. It's a real synergy, and it's a really interesting, cool time to be a part of that community. And I love it. I mean, I'm inspired every day that I drive into town.
Special culinary events in Bentonville in June include the beer pairing at The Hive. That's on June 11th. The art-inspired meal prepared by Case at Crystal Bridges on June 12th, as well as a wine and cheese dinner with a spotlight on cheeses made in Arkansas at Tusk and Trotter on June 6th. You can find an entire list at the website downtownbentonville.org.
The Fayetteville Underground will feature Women Take Flight during the month of June. This national juried art exhibition is in recognition of the 2013 Air Race Classic, which ends in Fayetteville on June 21st. The opening reception begins at 5 during First Thursday. More information is available at FayettevilleUnderground.com. Walton Arts Center presents the 13th Annual Art of Wine Festival Thursday, June 13th through Saturday, the 15th. These three evenings will feature a winemaker's dinner, tastings featuring more than 400 wines from around the world, as well as food from the area's finest restaurants. Art of Wine Festival tickets and more information available at waltonartcenter.org or 443-5600.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Wakarusa, one of the biggest music festivals in Mid-America, begins soon.
I'm very excited. You can actually start moving your stuff in today.
That's right. Some people will move in today or later today and then might not leave till Monday morning.
Might not leave till Monday morning because shows are lined up through late Sunday evening.
Yeah, and we'll go into the early hours of Monday morning. And then people, I think, have to be gone something like midday Monday.
I think so.
Now, to kind of help celebrate Wakarusa, we brought in to the Furman Garner Performance Studio one of the local bands that will be playing in front of fans this week.
Yes, the Flip Off Pirates. Heard of them forever and hadn't actually had them in the studio, me personally.
Right. They're one of the longest tenured local bands in this region.
Yes, it includes Jake Whedon, Barry Moore, Jeff Kearney, Chad Safrick, and Matt Smith. And I knew some of these people from high school, from other bands, things like that. And I think when we were talking, one of the first things we mentioned, you asked how many years of music they had, and there's much confusion with math because there's a lot of numbers.
And almost all of them started playing in bands in their teenage years, many of them coming from Newton County, including a couple that went to high school together in Deer, Arkansas.
Yes.
Which is one of the smallest school districts, not just in our region, but in the entire state.
Yes, very small.
And but they've hung together. The core of this band has been together for a long time, playing together. Jeff Kearney's also in 1 Ounce Jig, but they always come back and play some concerts and gigs together.
Right.
There's a real bond there, and you'll hear in this conversation, there's a sort of irreverence, but a real affection that they have for each other.
Yeah, and one of the things that we had asked them about, you know, was why they think they keep playing together, or why they're still together, and I think the unanimous decision was that the consensus was that there's no drama or very low drama with this group. And so because of that, I mean, there's really no reason to break up. There's no problems with things.
They're easygoing.
They're very easygoing people.
And the reason they're going to Wakarusa, we should mention, is they won
a spot
at the Waka Classic.
The Winter Waka Classic at Georgia's Majestic Lounge here in Fayetteville. They host that, I guess, every year, last couple of years at least.
Right.
You know, the way it works is you get selected to come and perform, and then, you know, it's a audience choice, basically. You get a ticket and you vote, and they won, and so they earned a spot to play at Wakarusa tomorrow night around 9:30 on the Georgia's Majestic Backwoods stage.
And so we invited the band to come to our studio to play, but we also talked to them about their long time together and asked what's the cohesive force that keeps them together. And they all said within a second of being asked that question, it's Jake Whedon's writing.
I wrote a poem about Kurt Cobain. I remember that was the first poem I ever wrote. And I had a teacher who kind of encouraged me, you know, and I just went from there.
And this was in which high school?
I went to the big town of Deer.
The Antlers.
Oh, yeah.
You've heard of it. So,
oh, yeah.
Our mascot was an inanimate object. So.
But one of the best mascots in Arkansas.
Yeah.
I mean, when you put it together. Mm-hmm. So this teacher encouraged you. That was a poem. When did you think about adding music to it?
I guess shortly after that, my older brother sent me a bass in the mail, and I just started messing around on that and kind of found it to be an outlet, you know, for poetry or whatever. So I guess that's why I started playing bass, because I had one for free. And I just, other than that, I just, you know, kind of, I just fell in love with it, I guess, is the only way to say it, you know.
What is it, you guys both said his writing instantly, what is it you like about his writing?
It's like nobody else's, and he's one of the best.
He's got a good
Doesn't
way
matter
of
if you're known or not, it matters what you're doing and what you say, what you, your content and your style, that's what matters to me.
To me, I really like the funny stuff, maybe because we have a similar sense of humor, but right. Some of the funny stuff you write is really good. And
well, I write serious stuff, but then I write a parody to that, yeah. A comical parody of...
I don't know, you hear so much of the same stuff happening, you know,
again, some
a lot
it can
of
be
music. And
pretty dark, but...
Yeah. And this is just a lot. I mean, I can honestly say I've never heard anything like it, you know?
Do you guys ever have any input in the writing process?
Yeah, we collaborate on everything, basically.
Each one of us, an iron fist.
Each one of us, and we all have tunes, but Jake just has, I mean, we have the other outlets of our particular ensembles, too.
I mean, we might make some music, like I have a bass line that I'm messing with, and he has some lyrics that he already had.
Some tunes,
and then
Jeff,
that might turn into a song sometimes.
Jeff's written a lot of the tunes, too, and mm-hmm. I've written a lot of the music on a lot of tunes. We usually just come up with something, and we just kind of, this is an idea, and then we all put our style, whatever we're thinking, into it until it become somewhat cohesive, we'll say somewhat, and then
some of it too will come from like improvising, just playing, you know, from the jam. We'll just be jamming and hit on something that we like, and Jake will immediately have like 25 verses of lyrics for it.
It's been an evolution for sure. It's ended up in a different place than it started, but the sound is, if this makes any sense, but the sound is essentially the same. The style is pretty much the same, but there's definitely been an evolution over the years to where it is right now. I think it's more mature now than it.
Right,
has been.
I know. I don't think there has been too many bands that have, especially on the local scene, that have been together long enough, you know, this long to kind of have that chance to evolve and grow it. You know, I'm really happy to be a part of something like that.
When you talk about changes, your lineup has changed and the music has kind of changed, but have you guys always been the Flip-Off Pirates?
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Where does the name come from?
Barry, was, Jake, you guys want to...
Yeah, me and Barry were in a gong show a long time ago, back in high school, and...
Shams.
We actually didn't even have any act. We just kind of... They were trying to get people to be in it because there weren't even enough people in it to have the event.
Yeah, because we're at Deer, you know.
So
if you don't have full 100% student pop participation.
Right.
These guys were really strange,
so we
back
just,
then, too. I mean, if you throw them out on the gym floor, something intriguing and interesting
yeah,
is going to happen.
Strange was yeah, something strange. Yeah. Anyway, we just we put together this crazy act, and we didn't have a name for it. And then right before we were going on, this friend of ours said, "How about the Flip-Off Pirates?" So we were like, okay, that's pretty cool. And then, you know, the name kind of just stuck after that.
And everybody remembered it, all the little kids.
Sort of adolescent or whatever, you know. But now everybody knows us as that, so.
You couldn't change it now.
Uh-uh.
Right.
There was some.
We were thinking about... just changing it to an acronym to keep up with the youth, you know.
Now, you guys actually won your spot into Wakarusa because you won the Waka Winter Classic?
Yes.
Yeah, a very close friend who told me we won by about 8 votes. So the rest of the bands out there, it's not like we Yeah, really, are that much more popular than you.
Well, how does the competition work? Because I know I hear about it every year, and I never get the chance to go.
You have to show up and vote. It's a crowd participation. Everybody gets
a vote.
What is it?
They give you a ticket when you come in, and then they have an envelope for each band at a table.
So if you just walk around and find all the ones that have fallen on the floor by people who have been drinking too much,
we actually hired a couple people to do that for us. Is this on?
Yeah, we had moles.
We had ticket gnomes. They were cruising the floors. Before that, you have to submit an application to Wakarusa, and then they pick the bands that are going to be in it. And then they give each band like a 30-minute slot that night to play.
Oh, okay. So the organizers of Wakarusa actually pick who gets to compete.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. When do you play at Wakarusa?
9:30 next Thursday.
Yeah.
9:30 to 10:30.
May 30th.
What's this? It's the Backwoods stage?
Yep.
May 30th. Mm-hmm. Backwoods stage. In between Black Crows and Sound Tribe, Sector 9.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Have you guys, any of you ever played at Wakarusa before?
I've played there with my other band, the 1 Ounce Jig.
Mm-hmm.
And we're playing there again this year on Sunday.
I sat in for a tune with Tea Leaf Green last year on the revival stage at about 2 in the morning, and it was pretty awesome. It's a nice change up from playing at, say, like a restaurant with 20 people in it.
How many people were at that gig? Guessing.
As far as I could see.
Oh.
Or either.
All the way back, as far as I could tell.
Yeah.
And for 1 Ounce Jig, same?
Well, last time we played right alongside the headliner, so it started out pretty good, and then it kind of thinned out towards the end.
But you just can't take that personally.
We were thinking like 10:30 Saturday night, that's a great spot. Yes. But, it turned out to be, it was still great. It was great. What am I saying? We had a great time. And yes, there were thousands of people there, screaming fans.
You can't ever walk into any gig with any kind of expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let you know, when it's over, you can think about it then. So you don't want to be disappointed by expecting too much.
It kind of seems hard to walk into Wakarusa without some kind of expectation.
Yeah, well, festivals are different.
You expect the porta-potties to be clean, hopefully, but
on the first day.
That's the number one expectation.
Well, yeah, first day's good.
Festivals are rough because they rush, if you're not a big band, they'll rush you on and off pretty quick.
Oh, really?
And the sound checks are considerably shorter than a band that has a big-time agent. And so it's not all lights and rock star stuff all the time. There's a lot more there's a lot more to it as far as things to get past, and I've experienced that quite a bit. Playing outside is a lot more difficult than playing inside because the sound escapes, and so I've always found it a lot harder. I like to have a wall around me to just give some substance to the sound of the amps and monitors and things.
Okay, so if we said we'd like to have you guys back when you're in your mid-60s, do you think the Flip Off Pirates will still be going then?
If I haven't spontaneously combusted.
If we're alive, we'll probably all be here.
By then, we might be able to tour or something. All our kids will be growing up and stuff.
I was thinking about when we first got together, how we were just always bashing on stuff. Like, we'd ride in a car. We were just always, like, making music, you know, just banging on the seats and, you know, whatever we could. If we were swimming, we were, like, splashing in the water and making sounds.
Mm-hmm. Putting Subway bags on our
heads.
Right. We want to set up to play something?
Yeah, sure.
All right, this song is called Cosmic Masquerade, and it's just about how nothing is actually what it appears to be on first thought, I guess. All right, here we go. Pain turned to bliss with
just one kiss, and then bliss turned to sorrow, with no longing for tomorrow. Send me to my grave, 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 send me to my grave. Got you down, it's got you down. But under the counter powder has got you spread all around. Bad brown whiskey, turn your smile into a frown. And rot gut tequila has got you down, it's got you down. Your friends call you kingpin, and they love to watch you clown. And you would never disappoint them when they call your name out loud. Your friends call you treetops, 'cause your head's so far from the ground. But you could never come down, 'cause you love the way it sounds. Yes, you love the way that it sounds. Yes, you love the way that it sounds.
That was Jake Whedon, Barry Moore, Jeff Kearney, Chad Safrick, and Matt Smith of the Flip-Off Pirates. They recently visited the Furman Garner Performance Studio. The Flip-Off Pirates will perform at 9:30 tomorrow night on the Georgia's Majestic Backwoods stage. More information is available at wakarusa.com.
And if you'd like some more information about the band, you can visit facebook.com/flipoffpirates.
John McCain makes a secret trip to Syria. The president tours the Jersey Shore. And as scandals mount at the White House, comparisons to previous administrations, Nixon, Carter, Bush, are picking up steam. I'm John Donvan. Political junkie Ken Rudin joins host Neil Conan for another round of Political Junkie. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation coming up next here on KUAF 91.3 FM. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. The KUAF website giveaway continues with tickets and camping to Thunder on the Mountain. One winner will receive 6 tickets to this 3-day country music festival on Mulberry Mountain. The event is June 6th through the 8th, and the drawing is this Friday during the noon edition of Ozarks at Large. You can register at KUAF.com.
Thunder on the Mountain is at the same place as Wakarusa.
It
so
is.
The last people are leaving midday Monday.
Yes.
Thunder on the Mountain, first people are coming in.
I mean, I would assume Wednesday again. I'm going to Wakarusa this weekend, and I have plans to talk to some of the organizers and hopefully have that story for you next week as to how they're planning on doing the turnaround. I'm curious. I have some phone calls out or some emails out, and we're going to get something set up so that I can talk to someone about it because I'm really curious.
Because that's going to be a 48 to 72-hour period of a lot of work. Maybe it's not as much.
Maybe
as we
it's
think
not as much as we think. But yes, I have somebody helping me find someone who can tell me all about it, and hopefully, I will have that for you next week.
Okay. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, and Deer.
Love it. Home of the Antlers.
That's right. Home of the Deer Antlers. One of the best mascots in the entire country.
For sure.
A couple of things to pass along.
Okay.
Amanda Anderson, who played volleyball for the University of Arkansas, her career is not over. She just signed a professional contract. She's going to be playing middle blocker, and I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this correctly, the Brøndby Volleyball Club in Copenhagen.
Oh, cool.
In
Denmark.
Yes. She'll begin playing with that team in August. There is professional volleyball throughout Europe.
Well, good for her. Congratulations. Yesterday, Christina had that story about Big, the musical.
Yes.
In Alma, at the Alma Performing Arts Center.
Yes, Young Actors Guild.
Well, if you're in the River Valley, there are auditions for the Jane Austen romantic comedy Emma. That's coming up on June 10th and 11th at the Fort Smith Little Theater.
The auditions.
The auditions, yes.
June
the auditions.
11th,
so if you want to be
yes.
a part of that, that's when you can go check that out.
I'm going to go back to sports for a second because I mentioned yesterday that the University of Arkansas men's golf team was in the NCAA championships.
Uh-huh.
The first 3 days are stroke play, so you continue to add the scores, and then the best 8 scores will advance then into the match play. Yesterday, after day one, the University of Arkansas men's golf team, they started the tournament ranked number 9 in the country. They're right now tied for 14th. That's taking place in Atlanta. They would have to move up 6 slots to advance to those match play quarterfinals that would take place in a couple of days.
Okay, well, good luck to all of the sports teams out there. Something a little more fun, near and dear to my heart, the Ozark Bacon Fest.
Yes.
I forgot to tell you about this the other day. It's coming to the Ozark Empire Fairgrounds in Springfield, Missouri. It's in October. The events include a bacon eating contest, a best bacon recipe contest, and more. That's October 12th in 2013. And I know the press release I got thought that maybe it would sell out, and they were encouraging tickets early.
Well, and it's the Bacon Fest, but the subtitle that I saw was a salute to bacon, bourbon, and beer.
Exactly. I got that email and definitely sent it off to at least 2 people that I knew were very excited about it, and plans have already begun.
And so, yeah.
So I'll probably be there.
I think it may sell out indeed. That's in Springfield, Missouri, at the Ozark Empire Fairgrounds.
It is. In Springdale this weekend, Friday and Saturday. Tickets are on sale now for Monster Trucks.
They do this every year, don't they?
They do. They do at Parsons Stadium in Springdale. And I have yet to make it to one of these, and I'll miss it this year because I'm going to Wakarusa. But it's going to happen. I made it to the Demolition Derby there last summer, so I was very proud of that. So Monster Trucks, they're on the list. You can get tickets at rodeooftheozarks.com, at Northwest Arkansas Car Marts, and at Parsons Stadium at the gate.
So there you go. Monster Trucks, Jane Austen, bacon, volleyball, and golf. Your well-rounded catch-up for the day.
Of course. We want to appeal to everyone.
Christina Thomas will be with me tomorrow for a brand new edition of Ozarks at Large. Then you and I back together on Friday.
Yes. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Antoinette Grada.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
Have a happy Wednesday. And also, I want to wish a very happy birthday to Nano. I hope you have a great day.